I'm going to invite Keith McLennan to come up. Keith is also known as a Bushman.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature that is not revealed in his sight, for all things are bare and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Amen.
I remember one time we were back in the early days, we were wondering how to choose elders and how to provide the right wineskin. If you've never been involved in a startup, you realize that it is very difficult to find the right wineskin. And we were having a meeting and Ruth McWilliams was sitting on, I don't know where we were meeting, but she was sitting on the stairway, but she said, why don't we do like they do at weddings and say, if you know any just cause or reason why this person should not serve, let him speak now or forever hold his peace. And it came across just as the word of the Lord. It's hard to describe, but there are things that happen. And one of the things that came out of that was that I have a great, great affection and trust in the body of Christ. It's not that everybody's right all the time. It's that when the word of the Lord comes, it echoes. There's a reality to it. So when we were planning this, I didn't want to give a long sermon. I just wanted to have the body share because that's where the life is. That's where the reality is. But when I was praying, I felt like the Lord was really speaking to me about Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses it for my sake will find it. One of the things that I have discovered is that wherever God speaks, whether it's in the Old Testament and the prophets or in the life of Jesus, he speaks in absolutes, in the same way that God in his creation speaks in absolutes. So that in chemistry and physics and astronomy and all of the created things, they're all in absolutes. And you don't mess with them. Whether you're a good man or you're a bad man, if you fall off a 10-story building, you're toast. If you're shot, whether you're a good man or you're a bad man, you're going to probably die. And those things are all in absolutes. And so Jesus here, he talks in absolutes. And one of the hard things for us is to accept absolutes because our human nature is such that we want to accommodate the absolute to our own understanding, to our own comfort, to our own self-will. And so you say, well, if you fall, you know there is helium. Well, you know there is the law of aerodynamics. But we also have that funny saying, whatever goes up must come down. And so Jesus talks in terms of absolutes. And what I felt as, months ago when I was thinking about this 50th anniversary, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of people who are coming. Some of them are really trucking on with the Lord. Some are wavering. Some have been through deep things. One of the things that I realized as I planned it, and then we went through pictures and pictures and pictures, there were a lot of people that we love that are not here. People that were really significant, Dr. Mrs. Younger, Jane, they're gone. And they were so influential in founding and in imparting a DNA to this congregation that continues still. Jack Griffin, who was one of our first elders, Courtney Levins is not well, and so he couldn't be here with Star. But we love these people. And so I realized that when we came together, there was going to be a real mixture because there are people that already I've been asked, well, is so-and-so coming? And I say, no, he's there with the Lord. And so I recognize that a gathering together like this is really an emotional roller coaster. I feel drained already. I just want to go and cry somewhere. It is so awesome that you would all come. I see Betty and Phil Feely back there. You may remember Betty and Phil from back in the 70s. They've had a long journey, but it was through them that we met Pastor Bob Birch. Pastor Bob Birch came and talked about the unity of the body and talked about John 17. And then we discovered that Roy Stewart had spent time at St. Margaret's in Vancouver, and also that Heather had spent time in St. Margaret's in Vancouver. So that there was this connection But Pastor Bob Birch then introduced us to David Damian. And David Damian has come here a number of times, and he introduced us to Gideon Chu and the whole Watchman movement. How many of you have been to a Watchman event somewhere or other? Look at that. See, what happens is that it's not just individuals who do things. It's that when we move in a certain direction, there's all these people that come along. They identify with what God's saying. It doesn't matter that everybody doesn't do the same thing. And that's one of the things that I think has been special here, is that people have gone off to do different things in different ways. But we have one body, and we're one family. I could tell you so many stories about that. But the thing is that we have to keep coming back to this. Jesus said in this ideal way, every day you have to take up your cross and follow me. How do you do that? Well, you do it through the joys, and you do it through the sorrows, you do it through the crises. You just keep on choosing Jesus. And sometimes I've just been despairing of life. And then as I look back and I look at all the failures, I've had to write letters to people to apologize for the stupid things I've said and done. And that in itself would, I find, just totally overwhelming. Because there are things that if I had done differently would have had different repercussions. And they go on and on and on. And as you get older, and there's a lot of you that have white hair. Well, I have a funny story about white hair, but anyway, I won't tell that. Because we have been through many difficult things. And sometimes you may even think, am I still following? And the answer is, what will you do today? It's not about all the stuff that went before. It's, what will you do today? Will you choose to follow Jesus today? And that's what I was hoping would be the decision that arose in our hearts. I was reading a scripture as I've been anticipating this time together, and it was from a psalm, and it said, may those who see me rejoice because of me. Well, I can see that there are some people that I would meet, and they would rejoice to see me. Oh, Ken, it's so good to see you. Others, it's, hi. And you probably find that too. I anticipated this would be a time of bitterness and sweetness. But there are people that you may need to forgive. It may be the church, it may be the eldership. You need to forgive. If there's things that need to be made right, speak to any one of us. Because the other thing that I was thinking, it's much better to come to a happy party than a sad wake. There will be people here that if we come together, if there is another homecoming in 10 years, there's going to be a lot of us who are not here. I might live till 82, but maybe not. But this is a time to rejoice with those who rejoice, to grieve with those who grieve, and there are great sorrows in this congregation right now, or in our extended family. Great sorrows. And we enter into it. The better we know one another, the closer our lives are, the more emotion comes into our lives. So that's the ideal. Now, there's a scripture that I found in the margin of my Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul writes, here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we take up our cross today, again, for the day, it's not like it's something that you do once in your life, right? This is something you do day by day. We will live with him. If we endure, oh, that means a lot of days, taking up your cross day by day, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he also will disown us. If we're faithless, he will remain faithful. I always thought, for years, it was just a year or two ago, I realized that if you start to put the grammar together, it's not that if we disown him, he is going to be faithful to own us. It says, if we disown him, he also will disown us, because he can't change. We can. God doesn't change his character to suit us. Holiness cannot endure sin, cannot endure rebellion. And so it says, if we remain faithful, he will remain faithful to himself. He cannot disown himself. He can't change who he is. Now, if you put that in between taking up your cross, then I want to just jump across the page. I realize that I have a thing about a scripture on our phones. You know the problem? It's only one column. and only a little piece of the context. No wonder I find so many people are quoting scripture out of context. Context doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter what it means. The important thing is what it means to me. No, it doesn't. Get over yourself. So across the page in chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You may have faced crises, and in those crises you put down the cross. Time to pick it up, because in the one you have an absolute, you must take up your cross. In the next you have a continuum. You have an education. Jesus says, take my yoke. Become my disciple. You've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. The point is, it's better to go on with your doubts and your mistakes with Jesus than to abandon Jesus and try to deal with your doubts and your mistakes. Do you get what I'm saying? So put your hand in the hand of the man. So put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Don't let go of Jesus. I sometimes react to people who say, all you need is Jesus. And I say, no, that's not all you need. You need the company of the body. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the scripture. You need the teaching that God brings into your life. But what I have uncovered is that Jesus is the key to the encrypted code. And nothing makes sense if you don't use that key. Everything else is nonsense unless you use the key of Jesus. So I would just challenge you today, as Bob and Leo take the cross. You're going to carry it down, because as I was praying, I felt this was a symbol. It's not enough simply to believe in the cross. It's an issue. Will you take your cross today? Will you say yes to the Lord today and begin your walk with Jesus in a fresh way, just as though it was the first day that you ever believed? Because that's the calling. And if we endure, he will be faithful to the promise. If you take up your cross and follow me day by day, I will be faithful to you. And in the crises and the doubts and the fears, even in the face of death, we can know the peace of God. I was talking to Steve Eckford earlier, and he said he had a heart incident a while ago. And he kept praying that he would have an out-of-the-body experience. And he actually died twice and came back again, but he didn't have that out-of-the-body experience that he was looking forward to. He told me that. I thought, that's so funny. Who prays, Lord, I'd like to die so I have an out-of-body experience. But anyway, wherever you are, will you just follow this example and pick up your cross, follow Jesus, learn with him, take his yoke upon you. He will interpret the problems. He will guide you through them, and you will then endure. And he will say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for your goodness in coming. One of the things I'd encourage that you say to each other, tell me, what has encouraged you to keep going? What has encouraged you to keep going? Because that's the key to keeping going, is encouraging one another. Father, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you the way that you have bound our lives together for your purposes. And may there be a communication of life as we share today the faithfulness of God in all of those years. It is you, Lord. It is you. And anything that we have accomplished, it is through you. It is because of you. And so we bless these people. We bless their families, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and ask that the life that you have imparted to them would spring up in every generation and bring glory to you. Reveal your love and your truth in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.